Well, we've been singing there about the Word of God never passing away. We're going to read now, please, from Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm. And then the New Testament reading is 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First of all, it's Psalm 23. Let us all hear the Word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Now, when it says there, bodily exercise profiteth little, it means a little, a little. Please don't think that it's saying that you shouldn't exercise, you shouldn't look after your body. Of course you should. Our body is the temple of the Lord. It belongs to Him. By the way, you hear people today say, oh, my body's the temple. My body is my temple. Bunkum. Your body is not your temple. It's the Lord's. Belongs to Him. My body is not my temple. It's His temple. It belongs to Him, and we're to look after our bodies. We are to exercise. But what the apostle is saying there is that compared to spiritual exercise, bodily exercise is less important. You have to do the spiritual exercise above all. That's the most important. And we're going to speak about that later on. But it's not saying don't exercise physically. It is important. And bodily exercise profiteth a little. Well, we've been singing about holiness. Take time to be holy. That word holy has the idea of health. Health. And I want to wish you a healthy new year. You say, well, did you not mean to say a happy new year? Well, yes, I do wish you a happy new year, but I wish you a healthy new year. I wish you a physically healthy new year, but above all, I wish you a spiritually healthy new year. How can you have a healthy year physically for your body and your mind? Well, there are certain things that you need to take into consideration. There are certain practices that you need to introduce into your life. Let me say, first of all, that you need to exercise. Exercise. And earlier on, we read from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise thyself unto godliness. If you are to be a healthy Christian this incoming year, you need to do your exercises. Now that word exercise in the original, have you ever heard of the word gymnasium or gym? That's exactly the word in the Greek original. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Gym thyself unto godliness. Gym. You know how people go to the gym. There's young people go, there's older people go to the gym to do their exercises. Well, that's exactly the word that's used here, gymnasium. Some people say the Bible is outdated. Oh, it's old-fashioned, it's from 2,000 years ago. But we're civilized now. We're in the 21st century now, so we don't need the Bible. Well, I want to say the Bible's up to date. In fact, it's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. And here we have the Apostle Paul. He says, now you believers and Timothy, make sure you do your exercises this year. Gym yourself, Timothy. Tell the Christians in the congregation that you have the oversight of. Tell them not to forget to do their exercises. You know, whenever I thought about this, I began to think about how many people at this time of year take up membership with the gym. I don't know whether you have gym membership. But there are a lot of people at this time of year, obviously because they've overindulged at Christmas time, and maybe we all have to hold our hands up and say, yes, well, I've done that, I'm guilty. I've eaten too much and I've got out of shape. But there are a lot of people, and they resolve to do exercises to get into shape, to become fit, and they take up the membership of their local gymnasium. There are other people, of course, who go to slimming classes. You get the leaflet through your letterbox for some of these slimming classes. And again, it's supposed because of guilt over Christmas time, you've had too much, you've overindulged, and you want to get into shape, and there you see it, the leaflet inviting you to the slimming class. And you can go along to the slimming class, and the pounds will hopefully drop off. Yes, there's membership of slimming classes. You know, as I was thinking about gym membership and membership of slimming clubs, I began to think about church membership. Wonder if you thought about that. Because maybe you have thought about the gym membership, the slimming class membership. There's nothing wrong with those. They're good. As we've already said, the Lord expects us to look after our bodies. But have you thought about church membership? The most important membership of all. Nailing your colors to the mast of the local church. The church that God has placed in the community. To be a witness for the light of the gospel to shine out. Tell me, have you considered church membership? Oh, let me encourage you at the start of the year to think about the house of God and think about committing yourself to God's house for 2015. But you see, Paul says here, exercise thyself unto godliness. Paul is not speaking here, obviously, about physical exercise. He's pointing us away to spiritual exercise. And Paul does say that physical exercise profits a little. It has benefits. But he's saying that spiritual exercises are far more important and they are far more beneficial. Well, let's think about some exercises that we need to do this year. You need to do your weight training. You need to do your weights. You see, the Bible says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. You know how it is whenever you see these men on the television or maybe in the newspapers or the magazines or whatever, these weight trainers. My, they're burly and they're muscly and they're lifting the dumbbells. They're doing their weights. There's a lot of people today, even athletes, footballers, cricketers, even golfers. You may find that hard to believe. Golfers even have to do their weight training. It's important for athletes to do their weights. But you know, for Christians, we need to do our weights this year. Do your weight training. Bear one another's burdens. Carry the weight of the church. Young people, let me encourage you at the beginning of this year to do your weight training, to do your weights this year. Don't forget to do your weights. Don't forget to bear the burden of the church. Look around. Think about the work of God's house and how you can help this year. Think today. Ask yourself the question, what can I do to help? And maybe this morning you'll say, well, I could clean the church for a month. That's very practical. But you're doing your weights. It's weight training. You're helping out. You're helping to bear the burden. Surely you wouldn't expect people who are elderly to do all the work. No, we need to do our weights and bear one another's burdens. Encourage each other this year, for we've all got burdens. The board have burdens, the members, the elders, the deacons have burdens. As Christians, we all have burdens and we need to share those burdens. And we need to think about how we can encourage and help each other throughout the year ahead. We need to think about how we can help in the work of God, in the house of God, what burdens we can help to bear. It was D.L. Moody, the American preacher, he said, I would rather that 10 people did the work of one person than one person do the work of 10 people. But you know what I'm going to say? In most churches, it is one person doing the work of 10 people. And you know what's even sadder? Listen to it. It's older people. It's elderly people who are bearing the burden. Oh, young believers, young Christians today, let me encourage you to take the baton from those older believers who are weary and tired. Take the baton from them. Take the weight from them. If you like, if you want to continue with the analogy of the weights, take the barbell from them and bear the weight this year. Do your weights in 2015. But not only are weights important, what about your press-ups? Have you ever done press-ups? You mightn't think to look at me that I have, but I have managed a few in my time. Press-ups, they're not easy. I remember at school, the PE teacher would make you do your press-ups. And boy, he must have had a good laugh at some of us fellas trying to do our press-ups. And whenever he turned us back, then you stopped, of course. And he turned around again, you started again. But in 2015, we need to do our press-ups as believers. Don't forget the press-ups. What on earth do we mean? You're saying, what on earth are you talking about? Well, in Philippians chapter 3, we read there the words of Paul. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul was doing his press-ups. He was pressing up toward glory. We need to keep pressing up this year. It won't be easy. Just like the press-ups physically aren't easy, it's not easy pressing up. And as we sung last Sunday, I'm pressing on the upward way. It won't be easy. There'll be many a battle. You'll have to fight against the world, the flesh and the devil. There'll be fights on the outside, fights on the inside. You'll fight with your old nature that'll tell you, oh, just take it easy. Enjoy the pleasures of this life. Just do what you did in 2014. Don't rock the boat. Don't do anything different. That's what the old nature will tell you to do. But you see, the new nature within, the Holy Spirit within, will say, do your press-ups. Start pressing on the upward way. If you've never started before, if you've never received Christ, or maybe you're a backslider and, well, there was a time when you were pressing up toward glory, but you stopped. You're backslidden and you're just lukewarm. Start pressing again on the upward way. Start doing your press-ups. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. So don't forget about your weights this year. Don't forget about your press-ups. But don't forget to stretch. Don't forget your stretches. You know how important it is for athletes and footballers, cricketers, to do their stretches before the game. And even after the game's over, you'll see the coach out with the players and they're what they call warming down or cooling down after the game. They're doing their stretches. Christian, you and I have got to stretch this year. What do we mean? We need to reach out with the gospel. Stretch out with the gospel to others. Reach out to the lost. As a church, we need to reach out to the lost. We need to use every means to reach out to the lost this year. And you know, let's be up to date. Let's remember we are in 2015. And some things do change, and sometimes the way we reach out with the gospel does change. We can't be just of the mindset that we'll just do things the way we always did them, and we'll just do the same things we did 30 years ago. We need to be prepared to change. We need to, if need be, if the Lord guides us, we need to change the method. But the message doesn't change. And the Word of God, the Bible doesn't change, but sometimes the method does. And of course, young people, you know all about social media. You know all about the internet. You know all about these things. You're internet savvy. Let me encourage you to do your stretches this year through these means to reach out with the gospel to others. I know that it's not easy to stand in an open air on a street corner. It's not easy to get up into the pulpit to talk, to speak. But you could use the internet, couldn't you, to reach out? To share the gospel with others. If we don't evangelize, we will fossilize. That's what someone said. If we don't evangelize, we will fossilize. Sometimes the reason why believers aren't making progress, and sometimes you meet Christians and they're just stuck in the one place. They're going nowhere. One of the reasons sometimes can be that they're not engaged in evangelism. They're not sharing the gospel. But my, when you start to share the gospel, by whatever method it is, you'll start to make progress. Things will start to happen in your life. you'll be amazed at how the Lord will begin to work in your life. And the gospel will become exciting to you. It will thrill your soul as you reach out with this glorious message to others. Oh, this incoming year, do your stretches. Stretch out to a lost world. Reach out with the glad tidings of salvation. So if you want to have a healthy year, you've got to exercise. I hope you will, by the way, physically. I hope you'll exercise. Look after your body. But don't forget to do your spiritual exercises. To have a healthy new year, you've not only got to exercise, but of course, we need to speak about the importance of our diet. Our diet. The food we eat. The drinks that we take. Food and drink is important for health. And we do need to watch our diet. I know at Christmas time that you tend to overindulge and you eat things that maybe you don't eat so much of the rest of the year. And don't feel guilty. I'm not going to stand up here today and say, that's wrong, that's gluttony, you shouldn't do it. We're not going to be a spoil sport today. Every one of us enjoy good food at Christmas time. The treats, the luxuries. But you couldn't do it the whole year through. Otherwise you would turn into a balloon, wouldn't you? You've got to be careful with your diet throughout the year. You know, the Lord Jesus spoke about our spiritual diet in Matthew chapter 4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. To be a healthy Christian in 2015, you need to have the right diet. You need to get your vitamins and your minerals. You need to get your tonic. And you get them in this book. This is where the vitamins are. This is where the nutrients are in the Word of God. We need to feed our souls on the Holy Scriptures. Then be careful about your drink as well. First of all, let me say, if you're not saved, you need a drink from the wells of salvation. If you're not a believer, you need to take a drink of living water today. The Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well, He said that He would give to her living water and she would never thirst again. In other words, that living water would satisfy her. There would be deep, lasting satisfaction. And you know, in Christ and in the living water that He gives, there is satisfaction. No, I'm not saying that the Christian life is easy. It's very often the hardest life of all. My, the devil will buffet you and he'll try to hit you from every angle. But my, in the midst of it all, there's somehow, there's a deep satisfaction. But because you know that your sins are under the blood, you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. My, there's satisfaction. Have you ever drunk the living water? Sad to say, in many people today, they're drinking from the broken cisterns. Sin. Now, I'm not going to go into all the sins, but I could speak today about many different sins, immoral activities that people are engaging in today. And you know the reason for it? It's simple, very simple. There's one reason. It's because they're trying to satisfy something inside. And there's a thirst inside that they are longing to quench. But the vast majority of the population on planet Earth are going to the wrong place to quench that thirst. They're trying to quench it at the filthy, polluted wells of the world. But the Bible says that the only place where the soul will be satisfied is at the cross of Calvary, where Jesus bled and died. And when we take our places there humbly, and just telling the Lord, "Lord, I deserve nothing but your judgment. I deserve nothing but hell. But your Son took my place. And Lord, I want you to quench my spiritual thirst. Lord, give me the living water that I thirst no more." You know, we all know the advantages of drinking water. Water is important for the body. We're supposed to drink a certain amount of water each day to maintain a healthy body. You know, the Bible speaks about water. Water's to wash in. And that speaks of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. We wash ourselves in the Holy Scriptures day by day. We get contaminated and we pick up the dirt of the world because we live in a sinful world and we're being bombarded from every direction with the filth of the world. And we can become dirty, but we come to the Word of God to bathe and to wash. You know how you take your shower and your bath? Well, we need to take a spiritual shower and a spiritual bath each day in this book. We need to wash. By the way, John Wesley said that cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It is important. We need to drink the water. The Bible speaks about water not only to wash in, but water to drink. The Holy Spirit is the water that we drink. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. If we're to be healthy Christians this year, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to drink the water of the Word of God. In John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus spoke there about the Holy Spirit. This blessed water that we need to drink from. John chapter 7 and verse 38, the Savior said, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." If you're to have a healthy new year, you need to exercise. You need to be careful about your diet. Let me say as we finish off today, two more things. Your rest is important. It's important that you rest properly this year. We are supposed to rest for between 6 and 9 hours each night. That's what the NHS guidelines state if we are to maintain our physical health. Between 6 and 9 hours per night. Sadly, a lot of people don't even get 6 hours. There are a lot of people who are not getting the rest that their bodies need. They're not getting the rest that their minds need. Now, I know that there are exceptions to the rule, and I was just reading last week about Margaret Thatcher. Apparently, during the week, on weekdays, she would only have slept for about 4 hours per night. She was able to get by on 4 hours. But you know, for the average person, it's different. We need rest. You know, the Bible speaks about rest for the soul. The Lord Jesus is presented to us as the Good Shepherd. And we've read Psalm 23 today. And you remember verse 2. Psalm 23 verse 2. Those beautiful words. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Christian, there's rest for your soul this year. The Lord Jesus, your shepherd, wants you to rest. Now, what does it mean when the Bible says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures"? Well, you know, I believe that the green pastures are the Word of God. The green pastures are the promises in the Word of God. And you know, the Lord wants us to rest in the promises this year. The Lord wants us to lie down in the promises this year. You see, you can just picture the sheep coming into the meadow, and my, there's the beautiful green pastures. But just think about the sheep as it walks into the green pastures, but it just stands there. My, there's a difference in standing there and lying down. And you know, I believe there's a lot of us as Christians, and we just stand in the green pastures. We don't lie down. We don't rest. But you know, the Lord has given to us many exceeding great and precious promises, and He wants us to lie down in them. He wants us not just to know the promises, and we can quote the promises, and my, we quote them in prayer, I know we do. And we know the promises, but the question is, are we lying down in the promises? Are we resting on the promises of God? You know, to be a healthy Christian in 2015, you need to rest on the promise. Don't worry and doubt and be afraid and wonder, will the Lord keep His promises? Of course He will. And thank God, each one of us as believers this year, we can lie down in the green pastures. We don't have to stand looking at the green pastures, fretting and worrying and being afraid of the future. Thank God we can lie down in the green pastures, and whatever promises God has given us in His Word, just take Him at His promise. Yes, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. But let me say finally, if you're to be healthy physically in 2015, you're going to need the fresh air. You'll need to get out into the fresh air. I believe one of the problems, one of the reasons why people today aren't as healthy as God intended them to be, is because they don't get out into the great outdoors and enjoy the fresh air and breathe in the fresh air that God has given to us. My, you've heard the saying, the best things in life are free. And I tell you, that's true about the fresh air. It's free. We can breathe it in. If you're to have a healthy body this year, get out into the fresh air. But you know, if you're to have a healthy soul, Christian, this year, you need to get to the fresh air of prayer. Prayer is your fresh air. Prayer is the oxygen of the soul. You know, the Bible says, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Continue breathing in the oxygen of prayer. Breathe in heaven's air. Breathe out the old air of the world. You need the fresh air. The fresh air of private prayer. Let me ask you today, I know that we're going on a wee bit longer than normal, but it is the first Sunday of the new year, and these are important things as we prepare for the year ahead. Let me ask you today, child of God, how is your prayer life? How is your quiet time? Are you breathing in the fresh air? Let me ask you, what about the prayer meeting? How is it with you and the prayer meeting? How long has it been since you were in a prayer meeting to breathe in the oxygen of heaven? I honestly believe that it starts in the home, in the private place. And if, child of God, you'll get the private place sorted out, if you'll get your quiet time sorted out, and you'll pray in your home in the private place of prayer, if you'll pray the way you ought to pray, then I believe the prayer meeting will fall into place. And I believe the reason why prayer meetings are emptying today and why there are not very many believers at prayer meetings today is because those believers don't have a prayer life at home. Oh, that the Lord would help each one of us this year to pray as we ought in private. And then that we would pray as we ought in public. Oh, that we would see the value of private prayer and the value of public prayer. When was the last time you called home? You know how whenever we go away, we phone home? Tell me, those of you in the meeting today who profess Christ, when was the last time you phoned home? When was the last time you prayed? What various hindrances we meet in coming to a mercy seat. Yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Have you no words? Ah, think again. Words flow apace when you complain and fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent, to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me.